This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. A bunch of stuff to talk about today. You can find Dana everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. The Dana Show is all over the place, DirecTV, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, whatever you want, and danaradio.com. All right, let's start here. I thought part of the White House press secretary back and forth with the White House press corps was really fascinating. And the reason why is these questions should have been asked, I don't know, 3 years ago by a lot of these press members, and they should have been angry that they weren't getting better answers 3 years ago. But now everybody is pretending as though this is new and not something we've seen for a while, and they're asking these questions finally, and the White House is being caught in weird lie after weird lie. There's like a 2-minute version or even a 3-minute version of this back and forth with Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and CBS News correspondents and other, you know, it's not just Fox News. For anyone that wants to get mad when they ask the tough questions, this is all the legacy media people that have been ignoring these questions for way longer than Fox has. Here we go. Here's a little bit of that back and forth
that he gets every year that we provide to all of
you. That's a very basic direct question.
Wait, hold on. How dare you? Eight times
or at least once in regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
That's what you should be able to answer.
All right. Now, again, I want to pause it for a second. That is CBS News. That's their press guy. She's going to call him Ed a whole bunch of times. And if you can't see it, because obviously this is radio, that's who that is. But nonetheless, he's just asking a very basic question. Actually, other reporters were asking it, too. Did a neurologist that specializes in Parkinson's disease see the president 8 times over the last 2 years, starting in about December of 2022? Is that something that happened? Because the New York Times says it is. Will you tell us whether or not it's something that happened? Did the president see this doctor? Oh, by the way, as you'll hear in this back and forth, that should be public information. That's not something that you should be able to keep secret behind the podium as the press secretary, which apparently Corinne Jean-Pierre is willfully unaware of or absolutely aware of and doesn't care. Here we go.
Answer by this point.
Wait, no. No, wait a minute. Calm.
How dare you?
Please, a little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's 3 times. Right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist 3 times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them 3 times.
Where?
That is what I'm sharing with you.
I love how desperate the questions get, by the way, because the where might help answer who it was, because the New York Times said that this happened at Walter Reed and not actually at the White House. So just tell us where, and maybe we'll be able to piece this together.
Right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist. So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. You're
Dr.
asking
Kevin
me.
Kennard, come I to cannot, the White House.
But I also said to you, Ed, for security reasons, we cannot share names.
Ah, darn those security reasons that are definitely not real, that you can absolutely give information about something that's supposed to be public record. That makes no sense.
We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists broadly, from a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons. We have to protect.
It's a visitor log.
I understand that. I hear you.
I love it. I love that the CBS guy is like, I looked it up right before I walked in here. It's a public record. I'm just asking you, did this doctor who came to this place see the president or somebody else? And she's like, how dare you, sir? This is completely inappropriate questions. It just keeps going crazy.
I hear you. I cannot from here confirm any of that because we have to keep their privacy. I think they would appreciate that, too. We have to give them.
Question of the doctor.
We have to keep their privacy.
It's public information. I hear you. Guys, hold on a second.
There's no reason to go back and forth with me in this aggressive way.
We missed around here about how information's been shared with the press corps
What do you miss about?
Everything he just asked about.
what do you? And then every time I come back and I answer the question that
you guys asked.
No, you
don't. Correctly, you have to come back and clean
it
up.
I never answer the question incorrectly. That is not true. I was asked about a medical.
Yes, you don't answer questions. You do answer questions incorrectly. And most of the time you're like, you got to ask somebody else. I'm not privy to that information. You got to go this direction. You know what's so funny about this? The biggest reason why I think that so many Americans would actually claim, so many left-leaning Americans that get their news from specific places, would actually claim that this is brand new information to them, that the president's mental decline is something that they didn't know about until the debate, which is one of the only things that a whole lot of people usually watch before a presidential election, at least just the first one. So Biden really only had to get the first one right. He could have screwed up the second debate instead and gotten the same level of everything's fine he got after the State of the Union, where it seems like he was hopped up on a bunch of stuff in order to sound somewhat better than he usually does. But nonetheless, and there were still mistakes. I love that. I remember several mistakes from the State of the Union, which have been ignored by most media. But I love that now all of these other places are starting to embrace this idea. Here's NBC News. And they brought on a Parkinson's specialist, Dr. Tom Pitts. And it's hilarious to hear him say toward the tail end of this clip how easy it is to tell that Biden is likely suffering from many of the common symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Here we go.
You noticed anything that gives you a red flag as a doctor?
Oh, yeah. I see him 20 times a day in clinic. I mean, it's ironic because he has just this classic features of neurodegeneration. I mean, word finding difficulties, and that's not, I couldn't find the word. That's from degeneration of the word retrieval area.
He's also overcome stuttering, though. Could that be part of that, too?
No, this is not a palatal issue or a speech discrepancy.
I love that you do all the basic stuff. You're like, well, but the stuttering thing, that probably makes you incapable of thinking, right?
Which is very different from a lemino dysfunction, actual word retrieval, where you pick a similar question or talk around the issue, plus the rigidity, monotone voice.
Wait, go back to that, the rigidity. What do you mean?
Rigidity, loss of arm swing, standing up lordotically. You notice when he turns, it's kind of end block turning. It's not a quick turn.
Yep.
That's one of the hallmarks of Parkinson's is rigidity and bradykinesia, slow movement. And he has that hallmark, especially with the low voice. That said was a cold hypophonia. A small monotone voice like this over time is a hallmark of Parkinsonism. I could have diagnosed him from across the mall.
He could have diagnosed him from across the mall in DC. I love that sentence because these are the things that make no sense. And these are the things that should wake a whole lot more people up. It's the same thing with the Hunter Biden laptop. And I know that somebody on the left rolls their eyes and gets all mad when you say Hunter Biden laptop. But my favorite was when they were saying they could not confirm the accuracy, the legitimacy of the laptop that Hunter left. And then years later, not only can they confirm it, but the government uses it in their case against Hunter for his felony gun charge. That's about as amazing as it gets. There's no better way to demonstrate to those that put their fingers in their ears and ignore everything that media lies to you. And it lies to you by taking advantage of you and how trusting or gullible or whatever it is that some of the people out there in the world are. I know a whole lot of other people are very awake and aware of what's going on. But nonetheless, these people who are asleep at the wheel, they just allow media to make excuses, to say it's not what you think, it's not what you think. And then media hopes for just one example that backs them as opposed to 25 a day that totally throw out of the ether, or throw out of any level of accuracy what they're saying is true. And then as soon as that one example happens, like, see, look at that. That's what we mean. Everything's fine. How dare anybody question this at all? You know, Jon Stewart did do a pretty long rant about how bad Joe Biden has gotten. Of course, he crapped all over Trump, too, because it's The Daily Show and it's Jon Stewart. And to be fair to him, he's only been in media again, at least at that gig, for a few months. And he has been challenging the narrative that Biden is fine mentally the entire time he's been on TV, which not many people on that side or any people on that side of the aisle are doing. And he's certainly still very left in his opinions. But I did think two of these moments were interesting because even Stewart is pretending as though this is brand new information. And it wasn't brand new information to Stewart 3 months ago. So I don't know why people think it's so brand new, or even he would say that about the debate being the real point of, that's going on. And here he even proves it because he does a little bit, and I'll play a little of the audio of where some of the biggest, the worst moments for Biden have been and how far back they've been.
I thought I would take a moment to explain where the concern about Biden's performance might be coming from and why these concerns may be seen as a more foundational issue. You see, even before the debate, there had been some troubling moments of disconnect from the president.
There had been a ton of troubling moments of disconnect. Here, he pulls out a little graph and he starts to mark moments that he calls huh moments. And again, he goes back to 2022 to the start of this. But if you've been paying attention to conservative media, a media that Corinne Jean-Pierre called fake media, or she called it, you know, cheap. Fakes, I think is what she called them, actually, which was where the video was real, but it was edited in a way to make it look worse for Biden than it is. None of those seem to actually be true anymore for a vast majority of people. But here we go. This is a couple of the huh moments that Jon Stewart is willing to acknowledge.
For instance, in 2022, when we saw Biden give a shout out to Representative Jackie.
Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Unfortunately, Jackie was dead.
Uh-huh.
It's something that the president seemed to have known 6 weeks earlier when he released a condolence statement about her death.
That's a bad look. And that's just one of the things that Jon Stewart is actually willing to say out loud into his cameras, into his microphone. There are more.
So... Then there was the recounting of a recent conversation that the president had had with his counterpart, the president of France.
And Mitterrand from Germany, I mean, from France, looked at me and said, you know, how long are you back for?
Unfortunately, Mitterrand is also dead. For longer even than that first lady, so...
Yeah, quite a bit longer than that first lady, and also something that demonstrates how Biden has no idea what time it is or what year he's in or where he is so very often. All right, we'll take a break. A lot to get to today on the show. Representative Chip Roy will be on in the third hour talking about the SAVE Act, something that is absolutely vital and important to making sure that our elections have integrity, and something that Democrats are claiming we don't need because it already exists. How dare you? But it definitely doesn't. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
ReadyWise, the folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure you understand that you don't need a disaster to prepare for major emergencies. I mean, if you don't need that. But in fact, if you're waiting until a disaster happens and you're waiting way too long, you need to make sure that you're prepared, because you'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And you also want to avoid the stress of crowded stores and inflated prices and strip shelves so that you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what your family's going to eat. And this is where ReadyWise comes in. These are high quality U.S. ingredients packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life, and you will never be without nutritious food to feed you and your family when you need it. And you can get it at ReadyWise.com, where you can use promo code Dana20 to get 20% off of any regularly priced item. So the time to prepare is now. This is like peace of mind. Like, it's like food insurance in a way. So visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20. Save yourself 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. Find Dana everywhere. D Lash or Dana Lash Radio are two of the best places to connect with her on X, on Twitter. You can also find me at Radio Craig C if you want. Not on Twitter as often as I am on Facebook. But anyway, let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, I'm going to try to get more of these in now, filling in for her. First, apparently there's a such thing called the Merlympics, which is the Mermaid Olympics. It takes place, this is so dumb, it takes place in Switzerland. A young woman named Mia Sim, who's 22, set the record for fastest swimming while wearing mermaid paraphernalia, mermaid stuff. Her legs were bound, hips and toes all stuck in a tail thingy. You also have to rescue a dummy. You have to do underwater posing. You have to act like a mermaid and also apparently remove trash from a pool. These are things you do to win the Merlympics. She won them. We just found out this is a thing, and it's very, very dumb. But nonetheless, one of many dumb things that exist in our world. Facial scans may be the future of healthy aging. That's according to a studyfinds.org story and some research done out there in the world of science. I don't know if Fauci was involved, but nonetheless, a whole lot of people are going to say, I don't want my face scanned. I don't want you to store all my information that way. I think I'm going to pass on this, even as they're claiming that this would help you defeat aging or fight certain diseases because they'd be able to know stuff sooner because they scanned your whole face. That feels like a weird visit to the doctor. This is a strange story. STDs jumped up nearly a quarter among seniors. That is both during and after the pandemic. Seniors, I don't know where specifically these individuals are going or hanging out or what's going on, but they saw a huge jump in the amount of them that had some issues when they went to their doctor with some problems. So this is a thing that I guess demonstrates that it doesn't matter how old you are, people are interested in having unique kinds of fun all out there in the world. And then finally, one last one very quickly. Gen Z is apparently now experiencing the tattoo regret phase of their lives. This apparently is something that is new to them, realizing that as you get older, Sarah Beth Clark is the name of an influencer who went viral for talking about this. As you get older, those tattoos don't look as nice as when you're young. And so you're kind of regretting the fact that you have them all over your body. That's usually a bad look, a bad move. More and more on social media saying, man, I wish I got a few less of these. Good luck. Removal is painful. This is what I've heard. All right. This is Craig Collins filling in, as I said, on The Dana Show. Excited to have Chip Roy on in the third hour toward the end of the show. A very interesting conversation about the SAVE Act and why it's important, why it needs to pass. That and more coming up in a bit.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
U-Haul must really love Democrat-run states. The IRS has revealed the true exodus of Americans from places like California and New York to Florida and Texas in billions of adjusted gross income. People move. U-Haul wins. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana everywhere, all over social media, D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio, some of the best places to stay connected with her on X, on Twitter. I'm also out there as Radio Craig C, mostly on Facebook, if you want to connect with me. But nonetheless, let's get to some of the stuff out there in the world. First, I thought this was interesting. The Denver Post is one of many places that has written about this today or in the last, I guess, couple days. The Republican National Committee has moved somewhat away from some of their more typical stances on abortion. That doesn't mean that they're supporting it or anything crazy like that. But Donald Trump is someone who said that it should be left up to the states after the Supreme Court made that exact ruling. And I'm Catholic, so if you want my own personal opinion on this, which isn't as important as the macro opinions that are out there, you can probably figure it out based on what I just said about my faith. But nonetheless, what I think is really interesting here is if a platform exists that says that we should simply follow the decision-making of the Supreme Court, it actually falls very aligned with what Democrats pretend to be. They don't actually feel that way, of course, as even Chuck Schumer is now working on a way to try to upend any sort of immunity the Supreme Court just gave Trump and all presidents, not just specifically Trump. That's a real thing happening. Of course, Biden has bragged about the way in which he's gone around the Supreme Court to try to give student loan debt forgiveness to a whole lot of people. But I digress. That doesn't matter. What's so interesting about this position, and it's not, again, to change anything fundamental within the Republican Party, even if that's sort of what some of these media outlets are trying to say it is, it's just following the idea that a federal abortion ban is probably also unlikely because the Supreme Court defined this as something that states are allowed to make a decision on, and something that Democrats usually fearmonger about when saying if a Republican gets back into the office of the president, of course, you're going to see this happen. Depending on what state you live in, your state being likely or unlikely to have abortion restrictions is something that I think better reflects the belief system of people in those individual states. And I think that's actually a good thing for our country to have people have stronger voices. You don't have to try to vote in or out a president or get the Supreme Court to look a certain way. You just have to vote for your own representatives. It sounds crazy, I know, but it's something that gets done and something that fixes or at least deals with some of these issues. I find that interesting, again, that it's a big narrative out there and some use it as almost a shot at Trump when the reality is that it probably is a better understanding of the decision making of the highest court in the land. All right, let's move on. I thought this was interesting. Now, this might feel like it's off the beaten path a little bit. The mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, blamed Richard Nixon for the violence that exists right now in Chicago. It's real. I'll play the audio for you so you understand that I'm not just making that up. That's the strangest thing. I know that Biden is unaware of what year it is. I don't know if Brandon Johnson has to be added to the list of people who are unaware of what year it is, but this is a bad shot. This is a bad attempt. And there's emotion that seems to be fakely pouring out of the mayor as he talks about this. If you don't know, Mayor Brandon Johnson is a black man. He's going to talk about violence in the black community. I have some thoughts on that, too. And I'm a white guy and I'm not going to be worried about the fact that guess what? I'm going to tell you my thoughts are. But first, here's the mayor of Chicago.
So we cut off the pipeline of boys between the ages of 10 and 19 being either victims or the perpetrators. So, yeah, it is personal. Black death has been unfortunately accepted in this country for a very long time.
All right, I want to pause it right there. There's something that I find fascinating about that conversation. Usually it's couched in some sort of version of, well, police, and we've got to change policing and this and that and whatever it might be. But the truth is, and this is coming from someone who lived in Chicago for over 10 years of my life. I still live just near the city of Chicago currently, if you need that information, too. It's usually black individuals, and unfortunately, over the last few years, young people that are hurting other black individuals. That's the black death that Mayor Brandon Johnson is referring to. By and large, it is a crime within a community, on the community in which it is happening. So there's a problem with the narrative that, say, white people or, say, you know, political structures don't care about this violence, or they accept it as something that's a byproduct of, quote unquote, racism, which feels like that's baked in out of some of these positions that Brandon Johnson or anyone else is going to take. But the simple truth, the reality, and this is needed to be talked about in order to solve a problem, like any issue that exists in the world, like the fact that Joe Biden's a terrible candidate and people denied the fact that he was a terrible candidate for a long time. And now actually talking about that might help the Democratic Party have a better candidate who probably would also lose to Trump. But anyway, what I think is so interesting is it's often ignored that this issue happening within a community against its own community is demonstrative of something very different than racism. It's demonstrative of something that is being taught within a community. Whatever that might be, it might be that you don't have the opportunity to succeed. And because of that, you wind up turning to, you know, gang violence because you've given up. And it's not everybody, of course. The vast majority of people in any community don't enact in horrific violence. It's a very small, it's handfuls of people in every state that are the suspect of a majority of crimes. You can find that a bunch of places, by the way. Also not baked in any kind of racism. For anyone that wants to scream and yell about me, I think the New York Times and others have reported on this. I think Indianapolis was one of the places they used as an example where they say it's like two dozen individuals that they feel are more likely than not the perpetrators of a vast majority of violent crime within bigger cities. And that's an estimate, but it is true. And a police officer who's being honest with you would tell you that, or a police chief or a police captain who's not worried about being attacked by politics. So then what's the real solution to the problem? The solution to the problem is using a community to reach the young people, to reach the individuals who are throwing their lives away by participating in violence that is also harming the lives and upending families of people that are also in that community. That's something that matters. That's something that deserves to be talked about. And when I did do radio and other things in places like Chicago, I often would talk to community leaders, whether that's, priests and religious leaders in communities or other individuals. Sometimes individuals who say they had a checkered past themselves and had found a way out of that past that said that they're the best conduit to reach a young person that thinks that their only avenue in life is violence, because those individuals can say that that's not true and they can help you become a person that doesn't do that. That is the truth of this. It's not Richard Nixon. But here, I'll finish the Brandon Johnson clip so you can hear him say it.
Years ago, to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson, and we ended up with Richard Nixon. I'm going to work hard every day to transform this city. That's what it takes to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago. I need everybody to step up.
You have to convince people that think that it's the right thing to do to hurt other people to not do that. That's what you have to do. It's that simple and that challenging of an issue. All right, I'm going to move on. Other stuff out there. Bernie Sanders said something that is amazing. I love how often this is happening now. It's amazing to me that so many people are making an argument accidentally for why a lot of individuals that might not love every single thing that Donald Trump has ever said would still vote for him. And I'm not trying to say that I care all that much personally about the mean tweets. I don't. I actually find a lot of what Trump says to be funny because I think that that's a missing part of anyone that has Trump derangement syndrome, is they just don't understand that it's for jokes, that the guy is saying a lot of humorous things and that he doesn't even take, I think, everything he says as seriously as media does. Well, actually, I know that because of how often I see media be insane with something that was evidently a joke. But here's Sanders saying how, get this, media is so terrible at changing your opinion of someone based on things that don't matter, because all that really matters is how you do the job, the policies itself, the execution of the work. It doesn't matter what the public thinks of you or what the media is shaping you to be as far as your public persona goes. And again, he's talking about Biden and a broken brain that is not a media invented thing. It's absolutely a real thing. And he's not talking about the fact that a whole bunch of media want to represent Trump all the time as a mean piece of crap who lies when, of course, Democrats tell the truth, when everyone who actually pays attention knows that all politicians lie, and they lie all the time, and they lie in insane ways. But here's Bernie Sanders.
They trust having Trump. A living wage.
They now, trust what media Trump does, the economy
now, let me just say this. What media does, to a large degree, is make politics into a beauty contest, into a Grammy award-winning contest. You are voting for somebody on policy.
Right.
Who is going to improve your life? Do you want somebody who thinks that climate change is a hoax, who takes away women's right to control their own bodies?
Who helps energy independence improve my life? Because being energy independent as a country means that prices of stuff go down because transportation itself becomes less expensive. That's just one of several ways that you can help impact inflation where Biden created it. So I love to take the quote from Bernie Sanders, of all people, on CNN the other night and say, I'll vote for the person who I think is going to improve my life more. And who is that? Easy. That answer is not Biden. That answer is Trump for a whole lot of people. even young voters who are saying, you know what? And I love this, too. And I saw a few of these stories out there that people who just started paying for their first apartment or, you know, moved out of the house sometime in the last few years, all of a sudden are like, wait a minute, things are really expensive. Things cost a lot of money, and I would like for them to cost less like they did just a few years ago. Guess what? Not a hard thing to do if you're not fighting the oil and gas companies, among several other policy decisions of this administration. All right, let's play this, too. I do think this is interesting. We'll have Chip Roy on in about an hour and a half or so, a little bit more than that, I think. But we'll have Chip Roy on to have a discussion about the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act is very important because it's trying to make sure that only U.S. citizens vote in our elections. That is something that's already supposed to be happening. But as you're going to hear, it's not something that actually does occur. And a whole lot of places have been caught doing things differently. And even so, probably have not been caught to the degree that they are likely still doing this stuff. So I love something about this discussion. And the president came out yesterday strongly against the SAVE Act, of course, calling it racism. Chip Roy is one of the politicians that's behind it, saying that it's necessary. And of course it is. But again, the biggest reason that Biden would say it's racism is because it already exists. No one's breaking any of these rules. So let's hear from some of these individuals, some of these politicians, about just how easy it is for non-citizens to obtain voter registration forms, to sign up for elections, and then to cast votes in elections. This is something that's bad and something that we want way less of. I feel like that's the most obvious thing to say into the radio today, but here we go.
The SAVE Act contains critical reforms to existing legislation and strengthens current law by requiring documentary proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. The National Voter Registration Act currently requires states to give voter registration forms to everyone who receives a driver's license, regardless of citizenship. For example, in Illinois, like many states, non-citizens can obtain a driver's license. Under the NVRA, these non-citizens would be given voter registration forms. And just a few years ago, Illinois had to remove hundreds of non-citizens from its voter rolls.
Uh-oh.
All an applicant has to do is check a box saying they're a citizen, and the citizenship verification process is over.
That is true. There are a lot of states that allow you to just check a box that says, hey, I get to vote and stuff. I claim to be a citizen. And then you're good. You got a driver's license. That's fine. That's why the driver's license fight is so insane and crazy as well. Sometimes in certain states about who can and who can't obtain one, because it's essentially the way in which Democrats get people to vote in elections that they're not supposed to be voting in. It's a very simple change and a very obvious change. And if Democrats claim that it's something that they also support because they're saying that it's already illegal for a non-citizen to vote, which it is, then go ahead and pass this act. What's the harm in doing that? It'd be like creating a brand new law that says drunk driving is still illegal. Why would anyone oppose it? Sure, let's go ahead and pass that. Let's move on to stuff that matters, unless for some reason someone doesn't want one of these things to pass because, oh yeah, we are actually doing stuff to try to skirt and go around and just totally ignore the legality of this very obvious thing in our society. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is the Dana Show. You can also find her at danaradio.com. Subscribe to her chapter and verse newsletter. Bunch of ways to stay connected to her. My name is Craig Collins filling in, and I will admit a couple things to you. I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial, I guess. And I find farts funny more often than some people do. I can't help it. It's not always funny. It's pretty close to always funny, though. This is one of those times. There was a guy that went viral on the internet for, I guess that's the only place you go viral these days, for creating songs with hand farts. I don't know what else to say. And probably the best one that he made is Foreigner's I Want to Know What Love Is. It's been downloaded, watched, whatever. Somebody might have it on their ringtone, I imagine, a whole bunch of times. So I'll play it for you, and you decide if you're as juvenile as I am, if you find this funny. Again, I do. I can't help it. Here we go. I can't help it. I find that hilarious. My favorite is the fact that he actually added reverb to his hand fart noises. And his video is just his two hands clasped together in front of a camera doing this thing. Look, I don't know what it's like to be a dude trying to make a living on the old internet. And I imagine there's a whole bunch of choices you can make. But this guy has made better choices than most, in my opinion. And certainly found the right songs to turn into hand fart noises, because some are probably harder than others. Some are probably less fun than others, and that's a pretty good one. Also out there, just very quickly, McDonald's is bringing in a brand new McFlurry, and for some reason people are excited about this on the internet. The new Kit Kat Banana Split McFlurry. It's something that's coming to stores in the near future. I don't know why I'm talking about this, other than the fact that the photo itself has even gone viral. And that's why people seem so excited. It's just Kit Kat and bananas inside of, a milkshake. So way to go them for being innovative in 2024. That's what it takes to impress the internet. That and hand farts. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. I only drink Black Rifle Coffee day in and day out because it's just the best coffee that you can drink. It's a veteran-owned, veteran-run. And there's a lot of other pretenders out there that say that they roast their own coffee, but Black Rifle Coffee actually does. They don't just white label stuff. They actually bring the best beans in and they roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. It's premium coffee for people who love America. They have explosive roast profiles, everything crafted right here in the US of A. They've got ground whole bean K-cups ready to drink. They got every kind of roast possible, from light, medium, dark. They've got all kinds of apparel, grinders, mugs, kettles, everything that you need for a perfect cup of coffee, they've got it. They also have their coffee club. Join their coffee club. Pick your roast or roasts, plural. Choose your frequency of shipment. Have it delivered to your front door with free shipping so you never run out of coffee. I'm telling you, it's more affordable than going to the store and buying a bougie brand. It is so much more affordable. And this buying economy, that's what you need to consider. So see it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off, code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana Lash everywhere. YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV Channel 347, danaradio.com, or DLash and Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Let's play a little bit of audio from Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was having a conversation about how obvious it is that Democrats want to change the way in which the country votes, specifically some border states vote in elections. That's why they swung the gates wide open at the border. This is something a whole lot of people see and understand. And then other people scream and yell is a horrible racist thought. How dare you, sir? Say something so terrible, so awful. Here's a little bit of Rogan.
Like when you start thinking about it like that, that sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it's like totally political, all these moves.
100%.
Yeah.
They're literally importing Democratic voters.
Right.
They think by allowing the borders to be porous and by giving people aid and giving people housing that you're essentially guaranteeing that if you can rig it so that those people are allowed to vote, those people are going to vote Democratic.
Of course they are, by the way. If you gave them a free house, if you put them up in a fancy hotel in New York, where a whole lot of people, not that they need the votes in New York, they're very mad that people are being sent to New York. That's a whole decision that was made by places like Texas and Florida who don't want their demographics to change by illegal voting measures. But nonetheless, you put them up in a fancy hotel there. You spend millions of dollars on them. Hey, punch that ticket, vote that direction, get some more free stuff. That sounds great. Why not? Who wouldn't do that? You know what's funny about that idea to me, too, is that if you look at, say, student loan debt forgiveness, the people who support it, overwhelmingly, students who have student loans, everybody else is like, no, I don't want to give free money to people that aren't me. Let's not do that. That sounds bad, and it's going to make things worse for our economy, even worse for those people who suddenly got free student loan debt forgiveness. When you talk about reparations, overwhelmingly supported by black individuals who think they would get money because of reparations, we see this again and again and again. You are going to support policies, even if they don't jive with a lot of the rest of, say, your basic thoughts, if they give you free money. And so that's the hope. That's the plan. Joe Rogan gets it. A whole lot of people get it. You know who doesn't get it, or at least pretends they don't? MSNBC. You got Joy Reid out there with her guest, Jasmine Crockett, the politician, both talking about how horrible Chip Roy is. And by the way, Chip Roy is going to be on the show in a little over an hour to demonstrate that he is not, in fact, horrible. You know what I like about this, too? Right now, we're talking about, you know, if illegal people should be able to vote in elections. And the answer, of course, is no. And so we'd like to do something that absolutely prevents people from doing that. And so instead of talking about that, they're going to try to claim that Chip's a racist because of something else, something totally different. And then, of course, go back to and probably attack the whole voting idea thing, because that's how politics work. You decide to crap all over the person and not talk about the idea if the idea is too strong for you to talk about. Here's a little example of this from the other night.
At the end of the day, I don't think they'll go there. I don't think they can. They're in a box. They're in a box where they've got to choose between a mentally incompetent president and a DEI vice president, and they know that they're going to be facing a problem either way.
All right, I'm going to stop it before Joy Reid, who played that audio of Chip Roy, jumps in with her guest and talks about it. It's absolutely true, whether you like it or not, whether you get mad about it or not, that the president of the United States stated many times, I even played audio yesterday of an interview he did with Al Sharpton in 2020 before picking Kamala Harris, where he pledged to pick a black woman as his vice presidential candidate. That's DEI. That's saying I'm going to pick somebody based on their skin color, based on their sex, based on anything other than if they're the right person for the job. And it doesn't matter. I'll say it this way, too. If the person also winds up being good at their job, which, of course, the vice president is not. If you look at the poll numbers, people are not a fan of her and the work she's done. But nonetheless, if they're great at their job, you've still taken away from saying that there's someone who deserved this gig. Truly being a country that doesn't care about race is actually being a country that a lot of people scream and yell we should have, that gets silenced and told by the woke that they're racist, which is where you don't care about race. You just hire the best people for the jobs, and it's irrelevant what they look like or who they are. And you don't even say, we hired you because of this and this. You just tell them what qualifications they had that you liked. And then that way, you actually have a race-free society or a racist-free society. But here's how Jasmine Crockett and Joy Reid want to tear down Chip Roy because they also are mad that his idea to prevent illegal people from voting in elections would actually work and prevent people from voting illegally in elections.
Now, I know that you all want to read a loser when a loser says a thing, so I'm just going to let you comment on what you think about those words.
How dare you?
Again, you know what? I want people to listen to them. If you just listen to what they say, it will tell you everything that you need to know. Number one, you can obviously see that he's ignorant as all get out.
No.
And number two, you can see that he wishes he had half the competency of Vice President Kamala Harris.
I don't know why you would call Vice President Kamala Harris competent, because she's horrible at her job and she's horrible at speaking in public. Because she speaks in the craziest versions of loops you've ever heard in your life that make no sense. And there's supercut after supercut of Kamala Harris saying crazy things and trying to say, you know, I guess act like a regular human by saying crazy stuff, which I love so much. And maybe I'll play some of those in just a little bit, because she does. She just speaks in what I think you probably could call like drunk fortune cookie sentences. It doesn't even seem like regular fortune cookies. It seems like you have to be hammered to write some of the words in that she would write there. But nonetheless, I love that idea that you're going to go after Chip Roy or anyone for saying that Kamala Harris is a DEI hire when she actually is. And I don't say that because I'm all mad that somebody who looks like her or somebody that is a woman is in the role of vice president. I'm mad because you deny the fact that they promoted that. That's the big problem. I'll just say this quickly. I don't mean to rant about this for too long. That's the big problem with Democrats. They want the political win for doing something that they shouldn't do the way they're doing it, which totally defeats the idea that they did it for any reason other than politics. If that didn't make sense, let me try to say it again. If you go out there and just hire a black woman to be your vice president and don't say anything at all about, we needed to hire somebody who looked like this, we needed to hire somebody who was this sex. If you don't try to get a political win and you just say, hey, this is the candidate I like the most, you could get accused of it. People would yell, hey, you only hired someone for this reason or that reason, but it wouldn't be something you confirmed is true. When you go out and demonstrate that you did it for those reasons because you want the political win, you then make it so much easier to accuse someone of doing something for a reason other than being the best candidate. I wouldn't want to be hired for a job, no matter what I looked like, no matter who I was, based on just my skin color or my sex. I'd want to actually be good at something in order to get a gig. And I think everybody feels that way, even people who get jobs that they don't actually deserve because they were part of a DEI thing or anything else. I think most people want jobs based on merits. I think that's the society we actually live in. All right. I want to play one other thing that I think is really interesting. This is James Comer. He's talking about why he thinks that some people very close to Biden want him to stay in the race, want him to try to be the president again. It has nothing to do with whether or not they think he's actually mentally fit for the job. Family members and even a physician, they have some skin in the game. Here we go.
There are only two people that I can find in Washington, D.C. that want Joe Biden to remain in the race, and that's the Biden family and his White House physician, both of whom are in a lot of trouble in these Biden family influence peddling schemes.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting about that? And I know the take was out there earlier this week that if Kamala Harris gets upped before the end of this term, before we actually have somebody new take office after the election in November, then she might pardon Biden and all of his family members for whatever those crimes are that a whole lot of us are pretty sure have been committed. But if you're talking to the left-leaning media, they're like, how dare you, sir? Everything that Hunter Biden did was legal. Which, by the way, I love that argument because when Hunter Biden gets money from China and Ukraine and gets put on a board that he has no right to be on, if that's legal, if there's nothing actually wrong with that, and that's politics as usual in Washington, then a whole lot of Americans want that whole system to be upended and changed, which is something that one candidate is offering to us. A lot of us don't actually believe that everything done is legal. But nonetheless, I love the argument being it's not that he didn't do it. It's just that everything he did is okay. It's fine. We don't care if a whole lot of people enrich themselves over the political position of their family member. That's all right. That's totally not something the founding fathers would be disgusted by if they found out about it. All right. But you know what's even more interesting than the claim that this is to protect them from any sort of prosecution of their own? It's also the idea that Jill Biden seems to really like being basically the president at times. Dr. Jill, Dr. Biden, or whatever I'm supposed to call her legally. I can't remember what the rules are for the woke. Seems to be someone who likes going out and campaigning for the president, as she did recently. And also someone that gets very mad when reporters shout questions at her. How dare they? Even though she's not answering the questions, which is probably why they're shouting.
Do you have any message to House Democrats who are calling for your husband to drop out of the race? How are you feeling about the state of the race?
All right, ladies.
Just let me talk as I walk by you silently without talking or acknowledging that you're there. Just why would you scream at me? Why would you yell these things as I'm someone who's not even really in a political position is probably something else that she'd say. I'm just somebody's wife. I'm the first lady. I'm not actually the president. Oh, here she is campaigning the other day for President Biden because I don't think he's capable of campaigning himself.
This is all about you. For all the talk out there about this race, Joe has made it clear that he's all in.
There's like 40 more seconds of that, but I don't care. Well, there's actually way more than that, but that part went viral because she's campaigning for Joe as Joe is left at home or maybe in a nursing home somewhere. We don't know where the president is all the time and probably being checked on by a Parkinson's doctor that went to the White House a bunch and then the White House press secretary had to deny was there to see Joe. He was just swinging by. He's got a, you know, a Scrabble game that he partakes in or something like that. All right. We'll take another break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. A thrill to be with you. Find Dana everywhere. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio. The best places to stay connected on X with her. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I love when stories say that this guy is usually thought of as very nice. Elton John is someone that a lot of people said it was a great meeting, enjoyed him. He's you know, kind. He's humble. He's all that stuff. One French shoe store owner, excuse me, I didn't feel exactly the same way. He said that Elton John came into his store, said he had to go to the bathroom. The guy was like, I'm sorry, but I've got no restroom for you. So Elton John decided to, this is a real thing, according to this guy at least, pee in a water bottle in the middle of the store. You didn't even like find an area to go in. You're like, well, you can't go anywhere, so I guess I'll go here. And then you went. And then a bodyguard took the water bottle from him. That's got to be a terrible job. And then went about the rest of his life. I don't know if he bought shoes or not. None of that is updated here. That's a weird story. That's an interesting move. Other things out there as far as quick five topics go. United Airlines lost a wheel on takeoff of one of their flights recently. Yep, it was a Boeing airplane, a 757-200, that just wheel fell off. Like, we probably need that. We'll be fine. They did land okay. They land safely, which is impressive for the pilots. But I love the fact that on the heels of the story about how Boeing took a giant plea deal to not be tried for any sort of felony issues, and then they have wheels continuing to fall off a plane. That's still a thing out there in the world. Other stuff, the Rock, Paper, Scissor Challenge is the latest viral social media, specifically TikTok trend that is incredibly dumb. No, you're not just playing Rock, Paper, Scissors. Apparently, you stand next to a whole bunch of fast food of some kind that you just bought somewhere. Maybe they even sponsor the video. You play a Rock, Paper, Scissors with a friend, and whoever loses has to run a lap back and forth from whatever room you're in, from the wall back to the food. And the person who wins gets to stuff their face with as much food as they can in as short as possible of an amount of time. And the viral video trend actually usually ends with one person eating all of the food, way too much food, after just one game of rock, paper, scissor. Don't do this, is what they're saying. A whole bunch of people are throwing up and doing other things because of it. Not smart is another thing that I'll just say about this move, but it's out there and it's real and it's dumb. Also, another quick story. Apparently, according to a brand new study out of Ohio State, if your boss is a huge jerk but really good at their job, you're fine with that. You accept it. You're happy with it. I'm sure there's political connections that people can make to this story. What I found interesting about this is I don't know when bosses were trying to be buddies and friends with people. I don't think you can be a good boss if everybody likes you. because that means that you're never telling them to do stuff that makes them mad. And a whole lot of people need to be told a lot of times to do things. You wouldn't have quiet quitting in office places where people just stop doing their work but don't actually leave their job if you had bosses that are like, hey, do work or you're fired, which is something that should exist and still, I think, does exist some places. But I love this, that essentially people are like, yeah, I like my boss. If they're good at their job, they yell at me, that's fine, as long as they're not terrible. It's basically the lowest common denominator version of my boss is as good as they should be at something. I don't know why this is rare or weird or any of that. But anyway, that's another story out there, another study that some people were surprised by. All right, I'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Patriot Mobile just has the best coverage in all the big three, the three biggest carriers. And they're more affordable. They're more affordable because they're not using all your money to form, finance DEI and gun control and all this other stuff. They actually use it to help create and maintain American jobs because they have a full U.S.-based staff. And they're also providing affordable phone service, cell phone service for you. And you can get free activation using code Dana. You can keep your phone or you can keep your number, upgrade. The choice is entirely yours, and they'll help find you the perfect plan for your needs. And they just want to make it to where it's affordable in this Biden economy, but they also want to make it to where your values are actually, they got a little bit of momentum because of all the good work Patriot Mobile does. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff out there to talk about, including the fact that Chuck Schumer wants to upend a decision by the Supreme Court. He wants to introduce a bill that stops Trump from having any of that sweet, sweet immunity that the Supreme Court actually said every president is supposed to have, and you can't go after him through the judicial system. If you can't impeach him, if you can't do stuff other ways, you're not allowed to just challenge him in a courtroom for anything, whatever you want to do. I thought this was very interesting because Biden has tried to have it both ways in this conversation. One of the only conversations where maybe he even understands anything he's saying, where he says that you got to respect the Supreme Court, respect the decision making of that body, except when there are things that he hates, except when there are things that he is totally against. Then he tries to go around them, tries to skirt them, tries to ignore them. So a few of those examples include student loan debt forgiveness. Anyway, Schumer is now trying to upend the Supreme Court in this way. I love how dumb, performative, stupid politics are, and how easy it is to just catch somebody in being as big of a hypocrite as humanly possible. Actually, one of my other favorite things out there, and this comes from the Babylon Bee, is them making a joke about how Democrats, and you know the Babylon Bee is hilarious for their sarcastic news stuff that they put out there, or quote-unquote news stuff. People who would never cheat in elections are horrified by Stop Cheating in Elections bill, which I love. That's another thing that Schumer and everybody else is standing against and saying, how dare Chip Roy and other House Republicans try to pass the SAFE Act, which we'll actually talk about a little bit later on in the show. As they're doing that stuff, as Democrats are trying to find new ways to challenge Trump in courtrooms because they're worried that that plan of theirs isn't working so well, you finally have a lot of, quote, mainstream legacy or left-leaning media admitting that Biden's brain doesn't work. This is Jake Tapper the other day doing something that he and a bunch of media could have been doing for years, but have decided to just start doing recently, which is definitely one of many reasons I'm judging them, and you should judge them too. But nonetheless, at least saying something out loud. It feels like the orders have been given to turn on Biden now. It feels like that's what's happened. And everyone that is now doing this is essentially doing it because they finally accept that Biden cannot beat Trump, and probably no Democrat that they pick this late in the game can beat Trump. But darn it, Biden probably couldn't beat anyone. Here we go.
In reality, 72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time.
They have been saying this for quite a long time. I love how Jake Tapper's tone makes it sound like he's surprised by this.
The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
No, the elites were not forced to reckon with it 11 days ago after the debate. The elites have realized that they're not as smart as they think they are, that they're not so much smarter than everyone else that they can just tell them blatant lie after blatant lie. And they shovel in that, you know, they being everyone else in society, shovel in those lies and say, thank you. Can I please have some more? A whole lot of people, as Jake just said, have for a while been saying that Biden doesn't seem like someone who's up for the task of being our president currently, if not over the next 4 years. But I love how this is all about the elites now. The horrible, terrible elites that I think CNN is very much a part of.
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night, and I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea, I'm too old.
Huh?
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old.
Yeah, you're just reading a transcript now, but that's a cheap fake. I'm pretty sure that I was told that that's a cheap fake. How dare you do that? He said other stuff. He did other things. This is not, I don't know how to say it this. And I know who's ever listening to the show today, probably by and large, you already knew this. I feel bad preaching to people that definitely get the idea that this is such crap, that media is so full of crap so often. It's the you know, moving the goalpost thing. They pretend that they just found out about something that you've known about for a very long time because they've been lying to you. And it's actually, you know what it's really like? I think I would compare a lot of media today to a cheating girlfriend or boyfriend, someone who's cheated on you before. And you're like, well, I hope you don't do it anymore. And they're like, I'm definitely not going to do it anymore. And then you catch them cheating again. And they're like, that was really the last time. Or maybe even somebody who's like addicted to something that can't seem to quit it. A media seems addicted to lying and can't seem to quit it, which is sad because at some point years and years ago, media actually did its job and tried to challenge narratives and tell us the truth, regardless of which side of the aisle it helped, which it doesn't do at all anymore now. But nonetheless, what I think is so funny about that is just that every time they say this, like, oh, we finally noticed what you knew, that they are admitting how ridiculous and how long it takes them to tell you the truth at all. And it's only when they accept that it's too obvious to consider you dumb enough to accept a different explanation as potentially true. And that's mostly for their side of the aisle, I should say, too. The people who only watch those stations that get their news. Another big thing out there is the idea that the vice president is a diversity hire. This is something that I think the New York Post said a couple days ago, caused a whole bunch of anger and people getting mad and yelling racism. How dare you say that about a woman who is black, or at least a part black? How dare you call them a DEI hire? Who else would have possibly done that? Oh, yeah, Democrats, when they hired her and Biden made a promise that he would hire a black woman to be his vice president. That's the definition of a DEI hire. And it doesn't matter if she had qualifications that were valuable because you've made it about something else because your side needed political points. I mentioned this earlier and said that I would play a supercut of the vice president and all her, quote, failed philosopher moments. Just so you understand how bad she is at this job, how many people dislike her for being inauthentic. At the very least, I think they claim that she's inauthentic. More than that, it's probably something else. But nonetheless, this is why she's not a good replacement for Biden. And this is why Democrats are truly panicking. Let's say you had a vice president that people actually preferred, that people loved, that was crushing the job. Do you know how easy it would be for Democrats to go ahead and move Biden away and put this vice president in? The reason they're in such a huge problem right now in the Democratic side of the aisle is not just that they've pretended the president's brain works when it doesn't, but because they've also behaved as though Kamala Harris is good at her job when they know she's not. Here you go.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day.
We must together work together to see where we are headed,
where we are going and our vision for where we should be.
Because we have the ability to see what can be.
Uh-oh.
Unburdened by what has been.
I hate being burdened.
And then to make the possible actually happen.
To see what is possible. To see what can be.
Uh-huh.
Unburdened by what has been. Ugh. To reject the notion that the way things have always been has to be the way things will continue to be.
I have a motto. I eat and drink no for breakfast.
I eat no for breakfast. I eat no for breakfast.
Sometimes I drink it.
There is no vaccine for racism. The climate crisis represents an existential threat to who we are as a species. Talking about the significance of the passage of time.
Yeah.
Right? The significance of the passage of time.
I got it.
When you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
He said
because
that.
The reality...
All right, I'll stop. I can't do more. I can't do more. She's terrible at this job. She's awful at it. And honestly, I think it is just a problem with being so inauthentic, so much desiring to be profound that she says nothing. I think you've probably had a boss like this at some time in your life. In the world of radio, we definitely have bosses like this at times in our life where you go into a room and they say a lot of stuff and none of it makes any sense. And it's because there's one agenda piece in their brain, and that's the agenda piece they have to chase no matter what. And it doesn't matter what you say, doesn't matter what points you make or how you demonstrate some of the flawed logic that's going on there. They're singular track focused, and they'll say anything to go to that road. And I think Kamala, the vice president, when she walks into a room where there's a microphone and she's supposed to talk, wants to seem profound. She wants to seem to be as good of a speaker as, say, some of the presidents or vice presidents of the past. So she says nonsense things because there's nothing deeper in there. There's no value to the deeper conversation because there's actually not even any ideas. I don't know what she wants to do about any of this stuff. But you've experienced this before. You've walked into a room where someone didn't want to have a real conversation. All they wanted to do was make sure that whatever their objective was completed or told to you in any way it had to be told to you so that you acted however they wanted you to act moving forward, regardless if it was right or wrong. It doesn't matter. But I'm sure you've had bosses like this. You've had friends that act this way. And you walk away from conversations being like, what just happened? What was I just a part of? What stupidity was just thrown all over me because it didn't matter what I said? Or actually, honestly, it's probably even something that happens to you when you politically debate somebody just in your own life. When you talk about, well, those politics, you know, I know you think of these as facts, but they're really just talking points that you've heard on TV or somewhere else, and they're not actually accurate. They're kind of stupid for you to say, and the person just doubles down. They just go further and further into that same road. I love that, and I think that's all a byproduct of the worst politician that we've seen in a while whose brain actually functions. And that would be the vice president, not the president of the United States, because he's terrible, but his brain also is broken. One last thing I want to play audio-wise. This is a Democrat saying that they'd love to have a registry of every gun owner in the entire United States, a federal gun registry. That is something that we do not have in this country. There's quite a few reasons why we don't have it. And I am a gun owner that would not want to have a national registry that they could then turn into. These are the bad people that exist in our country. But nonetheless, what's interesting about this moment is Republicans right now are asking for a registry of citizens, which we do have already, by the way, that can be used to not allow non-citizens to vote. And this is something that's horrible and racist and terrible. But if we're talking about guns, well, now it makes a whole lot of sense.
I think it was a wonderful idea that we have a registry of every gun that is owned by a civilian in the United States of America, because then we could have perhaps less killings in our neighborhoods, less killings at our supermarkets, less killings at our concerts.
How would we go about doing that, by the way? How would we have less of those things by having a registry of every legal gun that is owned? Because, of course, a criminal that has a gun illegally isn't going to register it. They're probably not going to be like, oh, yeah, I got to tell you about this thing that I have that I'm not supposed to have. It's only people who legally own guns. And if this person or if anyone is ever around legal gun owners, you understand how safe those people are, how safe I am, how safe I've been taught to be by other people. My gun is always pointed downrange. It's never pointed at anyone. You don't point a gun at someone unless you intend to fire it at that person, even if it's unloaded. You just don't do those sort of things. There's so many of those. So why would this registry help us prevent bad things from happening? Oh, yeah, by infringing on the basic rights of the Second Amendment that all Americans are supposed to have, and turning anyone who's a legal, law-abiding, gun-owning citizen into the bad guy, because that's the premise of that statement. But again, I find it fascinating that you're totally fine with that, but just asking the simple question if everyone's a citizen is a horrible, terrible, far-right, disgusting, racist point that how dare anybody ever say. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find Dana everywhere, danaradio.com or at DLash at Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Let's do Florida Man in the News.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. We got several Florida men here making news, which is what they do every single day. First, a guy in Florida who fell asleep in a Taco Bell drive-thru was found to be intoxicated behind the wheel of said vehicle. Not all that surprising. If you fall asleep after, I don't know if you even ordered the tacos, but you're like, man, I'm real hungry. But also it's nap time, so I'm just going to pass out for a bit. I wonder if you even had to breathalyze the guy, or if you just looked at him and you're like, look, sir, it's Florida. You're asleep. You're in a Taco Bell drive-thru. Let's just go ahead and have you plead guilty to DUI here. I don't know if you're going to have to try that hard. But nonetheless, yes, he was drunk. Yes, that's a crime, even if you're not moving well currently behind the wheel of a running vehicle. So you were booked and there are going to be charges and whatnot. I find that very interesting, again, that he couldn't decide which was more important, a few Z's or finishing the Taco Bell drive-thru and then maybe passing out in one of the parking spaces with taco on your face. You can eat some of the taco and then go to sleep. That seems like a better move. Not trying to help him do things better, just saying. Another guy in Florida led police on a high-speed chase after actually very, kind of frighteningly striking an officer with a stolen car. The officer is going to be okay. Had some injuries, but apparently that wasn't the only part of this chase that was wild. The guy even ran into basically the forest at one point, had cops chasing him. Tasers were involved. Other things happened. I wonder at what point in the I'm running from the cops thing, do you know it was a horrible decision? I would think that most of us don't do this because we know from jump we shouldn't do it. But I think when you're out of the vehicle as a dude, running in some sort of place you shouldn't be in anymore, and there's tasers and a bunch of cops there, it's got to dawn on you, I probably shouldn't have run to begin with. I probably shouldn't have tried to get away in that stolen vehicle and done this other stuff. I imagine that's the moment. Now, the only disappointment I have in this story is that unlike most Florida stories, the guy didn't just strip naked at some point, because that also seems to happen. It doesn't help anybody. It's not something that makes anything better. It would make me much more intimidated by a dude who's breaking the law if they're also naked. But nonetheless, it's probably the best strategy that I'm glad he didn't try to employ himself that also fails. You also don't get away from the cops based on some sort of we don't arrest you because of nudity rule. But nonetheless, didn't happen this time. Usually happens in this type of Florida story. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find Dana Lash everywhere. Rumble, YouTube. She's on TV. She's all over the place. DirecTV channel 347, I think. Also D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. She's very active there and just awesome. Find Dana all over the place. Anyway, I just wanted to say quickly that I find it fairly amusing that for the last 3-4 years, however long it's been now, basically, Democratic media has been very happy, left-leaning media, legacy media, whatever you want to call it, with what they believe to be turmoil within the Republican Party. Voting and how it was not really all that split, but how they propped up Nikki Haley quite a bit for a while there and wanted her to be a more competitive threat to Trump than she ever really was. Propped up and then ripped apart DeSantis at times when they thought that he was a more likely candidate. And then, of course, even the selection of the House Speaker is something that a whole lot of Democrats and a whole lot of media seem to really love and how challenging it was or how long it took, even though that actually felt a lot more like politics of old and the way they probably worked back in the day compared to now when everybody sips from the same cup of Kool-Aid. But nonetheless, I find it interesting that here we are a few months from the actual election itself, and you have Democrats in just chaos, not knowing what to do, having a president whose brain is so broken that NBC News is finally doing segments with experts that say that they could diagnose Biden with Parkinson's without even being right in his face. You could do this across the mall in D.C., according to this one doctor, Dr. Tom Pitts. I'll play that audio first. I'm getting to something, though, about the unity within the Republican Party and the lack of unity within the Democratic Party. Here we go.
You noticed anything that gives you a red flag as a doctor?
Oh, yeah. I see him 20 times a day in clinic. I mean, it's ironic because he has just this classic features of neurodegeneration. I mean, word finding difficulties, and that's not, oh, I couldn't find the word. That's from degeneration of the word retrieval area.
He's also overcome stuttering, though. Could that be part of that, too?
No, this is not a palatal issue.
I love that media just accepts these excuses that are thrown at them by politicians or others, and then they regurgitate them. Yeah, but stuttering. It could be stuttering, right, doctor? No.
Or a speech discrepancy, which is very different from a lemino dysfunction, actual word retrieval, where you pick a similar question or talk around the issue, plus the rigidity, monotone voice.
Wait, go back to that, the rigidity. What do you mean?
Rigidity, loss of arm swing, standing up lordotically. You notice when he turns, it's kind of end block turning. It's not a quick turn. That's one of the hallmarks of Parkinson's, is rigidity and bradykinesia, slow movement. And he has that hallmark, especially with the low voice. It said was a cold hypophonia, a small monotone voice like this over time is a hallmark of Parkinsonism. I could have diagnosed him from across the mall.
You would not have to struggle very hard, in fact, to find a whole lot of doctors who would say something similar to that and would have been saying it long before just about a week ago. That's not what they want you to believe, but granted, that's the truth. So the Democratic Party in disarray. The vice president is terrible, has horrible approval ratings herself. Says a bunch of crazy stuff that makes no sense, even though it sounds like she's just trying to talk in grandiose, very circular logic things. And then you have a president who can't make any sense because his brain isn't functioning anymore. And then at the same time, Nikki Haley doing something that a lot of people usually do. They don't even necessarily say it out loud, but releasing her delegates, not going to assign them herself. Going to let Trump do it, so they'll vote for Trump. So you have unity within the Republican Party at a time when you have utter disarray with the Democrats. It's just very amusing. So much so that now even mainstream media reporters or the White House press group is willing to actually go after the press secretary more than they did in the past. Something just crazy to some happened yesterday. Finally, might be another reaction for others as they were challenging Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, on her excuses or her trying to explain away a New York Times article that says a Parkinson's doctor has visited the White House at least 8 times, or actually, a medical facility that he would often go to, Biden would go to. This has happened several times over the last couple of years, probably because a whole lot of staff surrounding Biden, pretty sure he has Parkinson's. Let's hear her say, "How dare you?" This guy did not go to Walter Reed to see the president. He didn't go to any of these places. Maybe a couple times some neurologists might have checked out Biden, but that's it, which is absolutely not what seems to be the truth.
We provide to all of you.
That's a very basic, direct question.
Wait a second. Eight times or at least once. In regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
How much you should be able to answer by this point.
No, wait a minute. Come, Ed, please.
By the way, that's not Fox News. That's CBS and their reporter are trying to ask basic questions to the White House press secretary and get simple answers that are matters of public record, all things she's pretending are not true.
A little respect here, please. So every year around the president's physical examination, he sees a neurologist. That's 3 times, right? So I am telling you that he has seen a neurologist 3 times while he has been in this presidency. That's what I'm saying. I am telling you that he has seen them 3 times. That is what I'm sharing with you, right? So every time he has a physical, he has had to see a neurologist.
Yeah, we didn't ask you that question. If the president has ever seen a neurologist and if he sees one every year with his physical, we asked you if a certain doctor who the New York Times has reported has made 8 different visits to the White House or to Walter Reed has actually been seeing Biden for Alzheimer's specifically. Is that a thing that's going on, or would you tell us that or not, or excuse me, seeing him for any issue that is related to some of the expertise of said doctor? And the answer is no.
So that is answering that question.
No, it's not.
No, it is. It is. You're
Dr.
asking
Kevin
me.
Kennard, come I to cannot, the White House.
But I also said to you, Ed.
You didn't say yes or no. It's a yes or no question. Does the doctor that specializes in Parkinson's see this president regularly? Yes or no?
You, for security reasons, we cannot share names. We cannot share names.
Others he would have met with.
We cannot share names of specialists.
You can.
Broadly. From a dermatologist to a neurologist. We cannot share names. There are security reasons. We have to protect. I understand that.
I love that it's public. I looked it up before I came out here moment. And again, that's CBS being just so upset with Corinne Jean-Pierre and the lies. All right, let's play one other thing, which I do like a lot. This is Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart crapped all over the narrative that Biden is cognitively fit in his most recent episode of The Daily Show, something he's done several times. He did accept the idea that this is brand new information to him or to a whole lot of voters, which is crap, and it should not be brand new information, except for the idea that, well, a whole bunch of media lies to you or just pumps out information that they're fed by politicians on a certain side of the political aisle. But I did like this back and forth moment where he's saying just how evident it is now, how obvious it is that things are bad, and how if Biden loses to Trump, at least the Democrats have been telling you for a while that is akin to the end of society as we know it. The whole democracy itself will go away, or constitutional republic is actually what we are. But darn it, that doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you like about the United States would be ruined by Trump as president, completely forgetting the idea that Trump was already president once. And guess what? The country is still, by and large, similar to what it was before he took office. Sadly, actually, you'd like to see more things change. I think a lot of Americans would. But here, this is a back and forth with Stewart and some of the clips that he plays in his show that I thought was awesome.
And we're told that the threat of Trump is so great and the stakes are so high that even bringing up these absolutely legitimate concerns about the president's ability to do the most vigorous job in the world for the next 4 years is enabling fascism.
Stupidity.
Yet even the president doesn't seem particularly alarmed.
If you stay in and Trump is elected and everything you're warning about comes to pass, how will you feel in January?
I feel as long as I gave it my all and I did the goodest job as I know I can do. That's what this is about.
That's not what this is about! There are no participation trophies in endgame democracy. Oh, yes. I remember FDR saying, well, if the Nazis take over Europe, at least both teams had fun.
I love that shot. That is a brilliant shot and absolutely true. And again, if the Democratic Party actually believed any of the crap they're shoveling to you, especially the crap about how Trump is akin to the end of society as we know it, they wouldn't allow Biden to be the nominee. They wouldn't still be fighting this idea because of how long it's been going on and how obvious it's been, even though Jon Stewart continues to claim that it's brand new information, which is stupidity. And he knows he's lying there, which is why he's still a shill for the left and disappointing to anyone who thinks he's amusing at least some of the time, like I do. But nonetheless, the thing that's more important than any of this is that if they actually believed the crap they were saying, they would do something about it. And they haven't yet. And if they do, it's only because they know that they're going to lose the election and they can't do anything to rig it. Well, they can't do many things. There is one thing they're going to try to do to rig it. I will be talking to Representative Chip Roy in about 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more than that, about the SAVE Act and why it is so vitally important to be passed and why the excuse the Democrats use that it's already illegal for people who are in this country without any sort of rights, illegally here, to vote, why it's so important that we actually pass something that prevents those individuals from voting. Because that's how Democrats are hoping to game the system this time around. By the way, there was another story, I'll just say this quickly, about how bad COVID is getting. I didn't do it on the show the other day, I read about it and I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. We're 4 months away from the election and someone somewhere is writing about how COVID cases are getting worse. You've played this game before. You've run this trick. It's not going to work again. But I just wanted to throw it out there now in connection to some of this stuff, because it is kind of amusing that somebody somewhere in the world of news media was like, let's see if we can get this to take off. And probably almost no one read it. I saw it, and for some reason, I'm passing it on here, mostly because I just thought the timing of it was too hilarious. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with The Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Find Dana everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X. One of the best ways to stay connected. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Very quick. Few stories in the news. Gen Zers are calling out the, quote, massive stigma of struggling to make friends as you become older in life. It's not as easy as when you were in school, sitting next to a bunch of people your own age and then talking to them and becoming friends with them and hanging out with them for years. Apparently, people are sick and tired in that generation of having to try to put an effort to make more friends. That's a story that's real and out there and I find hilarious. Yes, it's harder as an adult to make friends. Suck it up and try and make some friends that way. Another thing, it's been hot. Very, very hot pretty much everywhere. One of the places that's uniquely hot, Death Valley. Even though it's hot there, a whole bunch of people have been going. Temperatures went over 120 degrees. And actually, very sadly, some motorcycle tourists died. I think there were two deaths in Death Valley over the last few days. Nonetheless, doesn't matter. A whole bunch of Americans are continuing to flock there and other places on tourist trips. Maybe going to Death Valley during the middle of a giant heat wave is not a great idea. I'm not sure. Or at least if you're going to go, do everything humanly possible to keep yourself safe. But nonetheless, that's a real thing that's also out there in the news and being talked about as now temperatures, I think, hit over 130 degrees in Death Valley, which makes you even less I want to go there. More than 3 million passed through U.S. airport security in a record-breaking day as travel has surged. People are maybe trying to find cooler places to go. I'm not really sure if that's what the thing is. Of course, July 4th holiday, also a big thing that caused a whole lot of people to travel over the last few days. But travel is back up. As travel is up, we also have wheels falling off of Boeing airplanes, which feels like not a great thing. But nobody cares because that plane landed safely enough. So we'll all be fine. That's another thing that people don't seem to care about. One last thing that I find humorous, and this is similar to a story about how Gen Z is now regretting some of their tattoos, which is real and out there. But Gen Z and millennials are trying to, quote, bring back 90s belly button piercings. They're saying that the belly button piercing is out of style and they want it to come back into style. And the biggest reason why is because as you get older, you can just remove it and you don't have to actually have it removed like a tattoo. So the lack of permanence of the belly button ring has made it a more attractive move for some younger people. I'm a millennial out there, so I can judge a lot of these things without seeming, I don't think anybody cares. But honestly, this is self-hate sometimes with my generation and the stupidity of things we do. One last one that I saw that I thought was interesting. A person has gone viral on social media. I say a person because biologically this person is a man. However, they claim to be a woman. They claim to be, quote, a bearded woman. And they went viral for giving grooming tips on how to adjust your facial hair through, quote, love and dedication. Those are some of the things out there. I have bad news for this beauty influencer, if that's what we're calling the person that's claiming again to be a bearded woman. Love and dedication do not shave my beard for me. They do not trim it. They do not fix it. If I allow just love and dedication to be what I focus on there, I'm going to look like someone who's homeless very, very quickly. My beard grows fast. I need to use something called a razor and actually cut it and shave it and then shape it. Those are other things out there. But beauty is in the eye of the beard holder is part of the slogan for this person. And I don't know what else to say. The world's broken, man. All right, quick break. Chip Roy coming up next on The Dana Show. Craig Collins filling in.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about, as always. Find Dana at DLash or Dana Lash Radio on X, danaradio.com, bunch of places. Congressman Chip Roy is my next guest. I'm thrilled to talk to him from the 21st District of Texas about the SAVE Act. Congressman Roy, thank you for being here. First, before we get into anything else, can you tell me what the SAVE Act is?
Yeah, sure. Great to be on, Craig. And, you know, we're advancing a very simple bill, the SAVE Act, which would require documentary proof of citizenship for an individual to register to vote in federal elections. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, not particularly complex. Democrats are all a tizzy because they don't want to have to be called out for their blatant disregard of the law. Now, it is true that it is currently against the law to register individuals who are non-citizens. However, the way the Supreme Court has interpreted federal law and the way it's applied under the NVRA passed in 1993, it restricts the ability of states to check citizenship for federal elections. So literally, Arizona has two different elections. They have two different systems, one for state and local, one for federal. We saw that. It's a good bill, and it should be passed.
It's crazy. Actually, I love something you just said. And Chip, you're a person that I play audio from all the time, wherever I am in radio, by the way, because I love the no-nonsense approach to a bunch of things. This is basic. This is simple. This is something that Biden came out yesterday against, while also admitting that it makes sense, that it's supposed to be the law. So how can anyone say no to this? I know that even 80% of Americans support the idea of doing more to make our elections as integrity filled as possible. How is this something that Capitol Hill argues about?
Well, you are correct that it's one poll at 81%, another poll, a reputable poll, is 87%. The vast majority of Americans believe that we ought to ensure that only citizens vote. What Democrats will say, they will say, hey, you guys are up to no good here. You're going to make it to where we're disenfranchising voters and, you know, American citizens. They're going to have to show up to the polls, and they're going to have too many hoops to jump through, and so they're not going to vote. So our response to that is that we have taken great pains to ensure that we allow for the maximum flexibility possible for individuals voting and the people in the governments that have to check it, while still retaining some sort of integrity. So, for example, show up with your passport, show up with a real ID that's already been vetted against citizenship, military ID that's already been vetted against citizenship. If you don't have those things, then you show up with your regular driver's license. You must have your birth certificate or that, you know, record from the, state that shows that you're born in the state. But if all of that fails and you can't do that, you're too poor, you can't get a hold of it, you show up, you forget, there are still mechanisms that you can go to the registrar. We allow states to allow them to check against federal databases and create other means, provided that they sign an affidavit saying that they're checking the citizenship of the voter. We don't think that's too much to ask for federal elections when we know there's fraud. We know there are illegal and non-citizens voting. San Francisco, Oakland, D.C., New York, other jurisdictions are already trying to register people for federal election for state and local. We know that they're doing that in federal. Virginia cleaned off 1,500 off their rolls, had 800 ballots attached to it. North Carolina cleaned off 1,400. Texas had several thousand cleaned off. More importantly, we've had 5 million, 6 million, 8 million people dumped into the United States over the last 3 years under Biden. So we got to do this.
Yeah, no, and honestly, they've been saying out loud more and more, or it seems hiding that less and less, that the whole idea of having a wide open border is to change the voting demographics of the United States, something you get yelled at and cursed at and told you're a racist if you say out loud. But what I think is so interesting, Chip, is also I'm in Illinois, and Illinois has had a tremendous problem with a bunch of this because they have a very simplistic idea right now, which is they'll give everybody a driver's license. And then once you get your driver's license, they go ahead and send out to you a way to register to vote. And they never check anything other than a little box that you say, yep, I'm a citizen, and you get to vote in an election. So it's so weird how easily gamed the current system is, and so stupid that anyone on any side of the political aisle would say no to something like this. Tell me why these types of things are sometimes challenging in general in politics and why a side of the aisle like Democrats can say it's already illegal. Why should we do more to make it more illegal? That's never made sense to me.
Well, coming to this country is illegal, yet how's that working out?
You're right.
Not well. The fact is, this is about something much bigger and deeper.
Amen.
My Democrat colleagues, the current occupant of the White House, Democrats writ large, they are radical progressive Democrats. That's it. They are very radical. They are out of step with the vast majority of the American people. It's a small cadre of activists and a handful of elected officials who are beholden to them who do not believe in sovereignty. They do not believe in the importance of citizenship. They do not believe in American exceptionalism. They do not believe often in God. They do not believe in that which made this country great. And they do not want systems in place that protect those things. The whole point of citizenship, the whole point of voting as citizens, is to preserve and protect this republic and the communities in which we live. They want to undermine that. They want to flood the zone. They believe in a one world order. They believe in funding the United Nations. They don't believe in borders. They think people should come and go. They do not want a strong, vibrant, sovereign, and secure America advancing the values of Western civilization that have made this world great. They want their own little leftist utopia in which they can go out and advance their radical agenda, which is frankly out of step with the average American. That's what's really at stake right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you. And even more important than that, they just want to straight up buy votes, whether it's giving people free housing when you get here illegally or giving you free student loan debt forgiveness. Democrats' most recent plan to win over supporters, as they have a president in office whose brain doesn't function, is to just buy them, just outright buy them in any way that they can claim is legal and you can demonstrate is not. I do want to ask you about one other quick thing. I think the New York Post was one of the first places that made this observation that Kamala Harris is literally a DEI hire who might wind up being our president for some short amount of time. Because if Biden is not capable of running, and Democrats admit that, you have to think that you guys will be capable of removing him from power currently. But I love that you said that recently and people went crazy about Chip Roy saying it. How dare he say it when they actually out loud announced that they were going to pick a black woman to be the vice president of Biden. They said it because they wanted the political win of it. So it's literally actually a thing. But how do you respond to people painting you as a racist now for saying out loud what Democrats did 4 years ago?
Well, it's the only page they know because they tried class warfare and it failed. They try to advance radical ideas. They failed. So what do? They try to divvy us up by race, which, as Chief Justice Roberts said, is a sordid business. The fact is, they're the ones that want to play the race card. Joe Biden, all the way back in August of 2019, he said specifically that he would prefer a person of color or woman. He was very specific about it. He laid out that this was a DEI process. He didn't say what I would say or what I think President Trump would say or somebody who believes in American values is saying, I want the best person for the job, regardless of whether they're man or a woman, black or white, or wherever they come from. That's the American way. Their way is un-American. Their way is against freedom and actual equality. They want to set parameters that are exactly what DEI is. DEI is destroying our country. Yes. Nobody looks at Kamala Harris and says, oh, man, that's the best we can do. Who in the hell says that? Like literally. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, this is someone who was given the title Border Czar. And what has she done? Nothing. Destroyed our country. Lakin Riley's dead. We've got dead Americans all over our country. Nobody would believe that.
Yeah. No, she's wagged her finger at a television and said, don't come across our border. We promise it's closed, while leaving it wide open. She did do that. I love something you said there, too, because this is my interpretation of this and the big problem with it. Democrats want the win so bad from the parts of the electorate that they think are easy for them to win over that they say out loud the part that makes it un-American. If you were to hire a black woman or a black man or anybody for any job and not say any of that stuff, but just say this is the person we found most qualified, you're more likely to be believed. Now, granted, if someone does as poorly as Kamala Harris in her job, I think you start to realize what might have actually happened there. But I think the biggest harm being done to the idea of a less racial society Is Democrats needing the political win so bad they say the quiet part out loud?
Look, I think that's exactly right. And here's the thing. You know, Ben Carson is a very dear and good friend. Great guy. Smart. Good man. Freaking humble. I've gone out and done lots of events for him about what he's standing up for, not just because he's a smart freaking brain surgeon, but sure, because he understands what's at stake about the soul of America and who we are as people. He's standing. God, I love that guy. I'll follow him at any battle he wants to go in. And you know what? He wasn't a DEI hire.
No.
He was an awesome hire. That guy's an actual brain surgeon. I mean, this is the thing I want to get across here. It's like, guys, we want the best and brightest. Clarence Thomas is one of the best literal human beings and public servants alive today. A true great American. Love that guy. I spent an afternoon in Lukenbach, Texas with that guy, and it was awesome. Look, I'm just saying, you know, this business where they want to play the race card, they don't get to do it. They're the ones that are the racists. They're the ones who are actually, you know, putting people down and trying to divvy us up by race. They're holding people back because of race. So I'm not afraid of playing that card.
Yeah. Can I ask you maybe off air about that day you spent with Clarence Thomas? I wonder if everything about that was as awesome as you said it was. I imagine it would have been.
It was more awesome than you can put into words.
Fantastic, man. Before I let you go, I want to get back to the real reason that we booked you and had you on, the SAFE Act. One more time, if you don't mind, just outline very easily what the challenge is. 4.6 million illegal aliens crossed into this country. At least 1.8 million gotaways. We're 4 months away from an election where a man with a broken brain is still technically running for that office. The only way they win is by screwing it up or fixing it somehow. And this seems to be the modus operandi right now of how they're doing it. And for some reason, they're fighting your act to try to prevent illegal aliens from voting in our election. Tell us one more time why this is so important.
Yeah, H.R. 8281, the SAVE Act. I introduced it in the House. Mike Lee introduced it in the Senate. It's supported by our House leadership, Mike Johnson, the Speaker. It's supported by President Trump just this morning. Elon Musk has tweeted about it. Anybody with a brain who believes in American sovereignty, who believes in citizenship and that it matters, supports this bill. Anybody who opposes it, they don't believe in sovereignty and they don't believe in the importance of citizenship. Those 400,000 tombstones on the other side of the Potomac River in Arlington, all of those tombstones across this country, the people who gave the last full measure of devotion or who were willing to and were ultimately buried there, those people fought for something, and that American citizenship means something. So this bill is to protect that. This bill is to protect America. That's why it's being opposed by radical progressive Democrats who don't believe in that sovereignty. They do want to use the tools to try to steal elections. Call your members of Congress. Tell them to support this bill. Let's shame the Democrats when they oppose it, and let's beat the hell out of them in November, and let's fix this place and take our country back.
This is one of the many reasons why I play audio from you all the time, whether I get to actually talk to you or not. Thank you, Congressman Chip Roy, 21st District of Texas. You're great. Quick break, a lot more. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Find Dana everywhere, danaradio.com or D-Lash, Dana-Lash Radio on X on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. Some stupid stuff out there before we get to a moment in stupidity. First, I thought this was interesting. A criminal dined and dashed, but left behind their social security card. This woman is 24 years old in Boston. I don't know why Zaire Alexander appears to be her name, is carrying around the old social security card wherever she goes. Usually it's not a good move. You should keep that at home somewhere. But apparently she left without paying. And then when employees tried to stop her, she pulled a gun on them. Which was a pink Glock, which I would absolutely be quite a bit less intimidated by. Not that it shoots bullets any different. Just come on, a pink Glock. But nonetheless, after pointing the gun at them, she left. Didn't hurt anybody, but forgot the old Social Security card behind. Easy case for police to crack. Easy for them to go ahead and pick her up and arrest her. Her mugshot is also viral, and it's hilarious. And then a photo of the gun, too, went viral because you don't see pink locks all that often. Although I would say it is a darker pink than I expected it to be, which at least would cause a little more respect, maybe. Nonetheless, other things out there that I saw. Apparently in Barcelona, people are very mad that tourists are showing up so much in their cities, in their towns. They're taking out little tiny squirt guns and squirting people with water. Nothing worse than that. They're also chanting, "Tourists go home." You'd think they'd at least spring for the big giant super soakers, but no, they just got the little tiny guns and they're standing out there squirting people with water and telling them that we don't like the fact that you're spending $13.8 billion a year in visiting our town, our community, and helping us have more money as a society. We don't like it. We want you to stop. And so apparently they're attacking you. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to our moment in stupidity today in stupidity.
All right. Well, this is brand new. Just broke about 5 minutes ago. KJP is doing the press briefing. And,
yes.
And not only did she try to cover this whole thing up, she praised herself doing it. So,
Said, misled in something that I've said or have little information. I actually own up to that. And I actually say, I will do my best to get you the information. Hence the letter. Hence the letter for Dr. O'Connor. Right. And so I will, you know, I've always said, I've always been committed to doing the best I can to give you the information that we have. That is a commitment from the team. It has been an unprecedented time. I think you guys could admit that, right? It is an unprecedented time. And so we are meeting the moment.
I love it. I love so much of it. She's like, you know what? I usually don't know stuff. I show up at these press briefings as the White House press secretary and tell you to check with another agency, tell you to ask other people. And then occasionally 1 to 20 days after I've told you I know nothing, I admit that I should have known something. And so I'm willing to tell you after you've caught me in my lie that it's in fact a lie. And I'm sorry about that. I love it so much. And yes, Kevin O'Connor did put out a letter earlier, I think last night, that you should probably check out. Apparently Corinne Jean-Pierre finally did it. All right, Craig Collins filling in. See you later. It's The Dana Show.